Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Ray. Wait, my boy Will T, man. It's a great show we got going on. We're going to have the champ on the line. We good, Ray? We got the champ on?
I think we lost him, son. Hold on.
But we have the champ on. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene again. I'm Wally here with Ray Jeezy. Will T's out. And I shouldn't say, you know, on Saturday night, Gary Russell Jr., the WBC featherweight champion, defended his championship against Diaz and was victorious in a unanimous decision. Good God.
All right, you got to calm down. Breathe.
I'm good. I just can't. Unanimous is hard to say.
Unanimous is easy to say.
No, man. Unanimous.
It's just you stopped your introduction. Are you good, Ray? We did have the champ on the line. Technical difficulties right now. I don't know if his phone lost service or what, but I will try him back shortly.
I appreciate it.
If he doesn't call back because...
Call him back. Just call him back.
I'll try him back in a minute. But that's the plan, to have him on. We enjoyed the fight, MGM National.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
DMV,
we
enjoyed on the come up.
We sure did. It was a great fight.
We saw
I like the undercard. I was a big fan of the undercard.
Undercard was good with the Russell brothers fighting. Mm-hmm. Also, we saw Jared Hurd. We also saw... what is his name? Anthony Peterson at the fight. It was some.
We saw him after the fight. I saw him. You saw him during the fight. I saw him after the fight.
Regardless, we saw him at the MGM. You think he was up there? It was just a coincidence that he was there on the night of a fight.
You never know, man. Maybe he was gambling.
I don't know.
You know, maybe he was gambling.
It could have been, but we didn't see him in the casino, though. Even though we accidentally walked in there, take the phone, sir. You got to handle this. This is what you do when you're a self-made production. It's what happens.
Self-made production. Anyway, Will T would usually say this. Wally, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. All right, here are our topics. We will have WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. talk about his victory over JoJo Diaz at 8:20. We'll have WNST's Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the show to talk about the Caps taking their Eastern Conference Final Series to Game 7. At the 8:30 mark, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs. Yeah. At the NBA playoffs. At the 8:40 mark, we'll talk with NatchGM.com's editor-in-chief Ryan Sullivan to talk about Washington Nationals outfielder Juan Soto. Finally, at the 8:50 mark, we'll discuss what Alex Smith needs to do to be a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I can hear you in the background. What's up?
I know. Hey, what can I do? It's just, again, it's what the situation is.
All right, man. But right now, we have still WBC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. on the line. I wanted to say that, man. It sounds good. I wanted to be like the dude that does it. And still, you know, it sounds good.
All right, go ahead.
You introduce
me. What's going on, Gary?
Man, that do sound good, don't it?
No, bro, don't it? Representing the DMV, it sounds great, man.
Gary,
I'm a complete product of my environment, man. You know, and I love all the support that I get from the home team. I appreciate y'all, man.
I wanted to do the interview from Reader's. I feel like it would have been much better, and I wouldn't have been interrupting you. You'd have been more laid back as you continue to recover. With some Italian nights. That's what the plan was. You know what I'm saying? We'll take what we can get, though. Anyway, let's get into it. So when we interviewed you Saturday right after the fight, you started off the jump saying you were disappointed that it went the distance. How you feeling now with a couple more days to reflect?
Yeah, I still feel the same way. You know, I feel the same way, man. I feel as though that my ability, man, is just so much more superior than a lot of you guys that I'm in the ring with. You know, and I'm definitely winning these fights in spectacular fashion, you know, but it's not up to the bar in which that I would want it to be. You know, I'm my worst critic, so I push myself to the limit. You know, no matter what the situation is, even though we won the fight, great fight, executed the game plan perfectly, it was still things that I seen that I could have done differently. That could have made the fight a little more easier, you know, and I probably could have gotten him up out of there. I heard him early in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him in the second round. I had him early, man. The funny thing is I hurt my hand in the process of that exchange, you know, so that played a big part. But we made the adjustments, man.
You're your brothers, they gave themselves grades right after their fights. I gave you a B for the fight based on the fact that you were just coming back and you were in great shape. I think that surprised JoJo for whatever reason. He acknowledged that in his interview because he thought his body shots were going to hurt you. But what grade would you give yourself for this fight?
The same thing I did, man. I gave myself a C.
Okay.
Yeah, I gave myself a C. It was everything that I definitely could have, you know, capitalized on.
But you
and punctuated much better.
But did you?
What I did.
But did you add? But you didn't want to add in like the layoff. I mean, I feel like, you know, for a guy that had a layoff to still fight at that level, a mandatory number one contender for your championship belt, you were still able to dominate the championship rounds in that fight.
I mean, of course, you know, I was gonna be. I don't think I can be right now.
So, Sam, you are listening to the Urban Sports Team right now. We have WBC featherweight champ Gary Russell Jr. on the line. So, Gary, how proud of you were your brothers of the fight? They were on the undercard too, as well. They were on the undercard and they fought well. How proud of you were you of them? Excuse me.
Oh man, that was cool, man. That was so cool for both my young brothers, man, to get an opportunity to compete on the card, for us to represent the city together. I'm glad they both went out there and got victories. You know, one got a third round knockout, I believe, third round stoppage. And the other one got the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The first round stoppage, man, they both executed good. It was a day shot at my father's birthday. So, man, it was a good day. But overall, it was a good day.
All right, so we're moving forward now. You talk unification several times over the course of the past several weeks. The winner of the Santa Cruz fight, according to an article I read, it seems like it should be easy to get done, considering all of you guys, yourself, Santa Cruz, and Morris, work with Al Haymon. I think their bout is in June. Oh, June 9th is when they fight in L.A. Staples Center. So are you looking at fighting the winner of that match and – you know, around what time frame are you looking at?
I'm not sure. I would love to get the winner of that match. I would love to get that match before the end of the year, though.
Oh, before the end of the year?
Okay. So you talked about a little bit about moving up. How big is that of a possibility is that?
It depends on the ability to get these other guys in the ring to compete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can't get these guys in the ring to fight, then that's something, that's another option that I'm looking at doing. I'm willing to fluctuate to meet some of these other dudes that have a relevant name in the sport of boxing, anywhere from the weight from 126 to 140.
Mm-hmm.
We can meet him in a catch weight and let's give the fans what they want to see. Two of the best fighters competing against each other.
Respect that. So before I let you go, Gary, how was the hand though?
It's good. It was a little sore. I heard it, man. Like I said, I threw a shot like directly on the top of his head, man. That's the hardest part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it. You know, and I heard it early in the round. It's cool, man. War wounds, man. War wounds.
Like you said, it comes along with the territory. But thanks for joining us. Enjoy your week, and we look forward to catching up with you later in the year. Hopefully, you'll be preparing for a unification bout.
And congratulations, my man.
Man, I appreciate y'all. And guess what? I'm on my way to the gym right now.
Always, man. Grind out.
This grind don't stop. I'm off the motion.
All right. Appreciate you, man.
All right, fine.
All right. Again, man, that is the WBC featherweight champion, Mr. Gary Russell Jr. with the Urban Sports saying.
Yeah, I meant to ask him one additional question. I forgot. But nonetheless, he sounds like he's somebody who's in recovery, to be honest.
And he's real. And he's real about
his. He was honest, still disciplined. Gave himself a C, which is what I anticipate. I think you gave him a C as well.
I gave him C+, yeah.
C+. They're the toughest critics, and I expect that all of us should be that way.
Mm-hmm.
in reference to whatever our craft or profession is. So I respect the transparency.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that we'll be able to see him get in the ring again later this year. I'm doubting, though, if he does get the winner of the Santa Cruz fight, it's going to be at National Harbor.
No, I just think it's going to be a bigger venue. It'll be a bigger venue.
It'll be nice to travel to cover the Russell brothers or just him in general. But with these three fighters, Santa Cruz, Morris, and himself, all being advised by Al Haymon, it should get done.
I think it should get done, and I think it'll probably if it doesn't happen at the MGM, it'll probably happen at the Barclay.
Why you say that? You just think it's going to be an East Coast thing?
I think it's an East Coast thing. I think the Barclay is it's a decent venue and big enough for that fight.
But it's a unification bout, so you're talking about two champions. I don't know if they're going.
The Barclay has been known to host that type of fight.
Oh, I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just wondering.
Because
is that like a midway point for himself and what I expect to be Santa Cruz? I'm just wondering.
No, I just think that, all right, so you fight. That's a big fight. It's a unification fight. So you want that in a good venue. And the venue that's going to come to mind, it's not going to be Vegas. Vegas is typically a pay-per-view venue 9 times out of 10. You know what I mean? You have to be one of the bigger names to fight in Vegas at the moment. So I just think that if you look at, you know, just the
demographics, I guess.
Not a demographic. If you look at, you know, trends, it would probably be the Barclay. And Will T would be better off to state it better than I, because he would know.
He'll be able to, I guess, identify what factors into them picking a venue, the promoters.
So Will T won't make it tonight.
Okay. That's fine. So maybe Will, if you're listening, you should call in at least. Help us out with this part. But it doesn't matter really what a venue is.
Yeah.
You know, again, we would like to cover it. It's just trying to figure out, you know, what would be the magnitude of this fight. And if he were to unify, then where do you go from there?
It's a step up, man. Anytime you unify, you know, unify the titles and unify the belt, it's a step up. It's like in terms of what your legacy is. So you'd want to do that. And then after that, it gives you more notoriety to a point where, yeah, he can fight the bigger, badder dudes on in the game of boxing. And that means by moving up, maybe.
What would I personally like? I would love Thanksgiving right around that time, National Harbor. It would be perfect. Holidays, more people in town, more people off from work during that time. Yeah. It's the holiday season. I think it would be great to have him defend or unify. Or that unification bout, I should say. I'm expecting him to win. I think he is the best featherweight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But JoJo put up such a good fight that I know it's going to be some heavily contested bouts against him coming going forward, and not just him dominate. I assumed prior to the Diaz fight that he would dominate, just again based on his IQ and hand speed.
Yeah.
But Diaz fought a good fight, and Gary gave the fans what they wanted. Maybe not have been the best strategy based on our thought. Going toe to toe right there in front of Diaz, which we thought he should have moved a bit more early.
I think he pretty much said that during the interview, that he wished he could have did certain things differently compared to, you know, what he did in the fight, because he believes he could have got him out of there early. I think he would have preferred to do what he did in the later rounds, moving side to side and using his and taking advantage of his hand speed and talking about his own hand speed and connecting on Diaz.
Last thing I'll say before we go to break, he did come out with a flurry to start the second round. You remember?
Yeah.
Like very quick.
Boom, and boom, he boom, did pop, catch pop, him. Pop, he's pop, right. Pop. He caught him.
But then the second round took a turn for the worse. And maybe it was a hand injury. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the second round was Diaz's best round. And that's the round he said, whoo, you know, he's screaming.
Because he caught him. Yeah, because he caught him initially. Shots. He caught him initially. Gary caught Diaz initially. Then Diaz countered. And that's when he hit the body shots. And that's when the whole audience and people attending and even us in the media were like, whoa.
Shout out to JoJo Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
His boy Errol Spence was tweeting during the fight.
Was he really?
He's like, Gary's looking tired. He was rooting against Gary, which is
Because that's his boy. That is his boy.
Which is cool to see. Mm-hmm. Errol Spence, obviously, he's one of the top fighters in the game right now.
Yeah.
No matter what the weight class. But overall, great fight. Great night for the DMV. Great night for the Russell family. Great night for the Urban Sports.
Exactly. Most importantly, great night for the Urban Sports. Exactly. And then we get the opportunity just to after the fight, we got an interview with the champ.
Hey,
that's
exclusive.
It's exclusive.
Solomon will say exclusive.
The Caps will be playing Game 7 in Tampa. We'll have Ed Frankovic from WNST to join us to talk about the game. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, you dig? Deuces.
Call it how it is. Hedges. I promise you, swag. Yo, Toast up with the game. Gang, gang. From food stamps to a whole nother domain. Got it. Out the bottle. Yeah. I'm a living proof. Super. Ain't compromising. Half a million on the coup. Gang, gang. Drug houses. Well, looking like a roof. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Graduated. I was overdue. I'm a pink Miley. Miley. I can barely move. Barely move. Ask about me. I'm gonna bust a move. Hey, yo, Reed James. 33 chains. 33. Ocean now. Cruising Biscayne, hit fire, top on, yeah, that's a liability, bitch, hit the gas, yeah, boosting my adrenaline, bitch, fire, Percocet, yeah, Molly Percocet, bitch, fire, Percocet, yeah, Molly Percocet, bitch, fire, represent, yeah, gotta represent, gang, gang, chasing shit, yeah, never chasing, bitch, fire, mask on, yeah. Photo maybe, I drive anything, yeah. Buy my range, yeah. Make them go insane, yeah. DJ SDLC.
I got a halo, I level up every time God says so. Shoot on payroll, looking like Pancho, looking like Pedro. Street from Tarzan. 10 dividend go grow when I say grow. Kung Fu Kenny with the mind touch. Ain't no penny that I don't touch. Y'all my enemy bite on dust. Ain't no talking when it's fatal. Having heart I can't tell.
Wait.
Half of y'all might need help.
Wait.
I might fall in Rodale. I might ball and I strail.
Say no more.
I might call a folk rail.
Say no more.
All I ask go unveil.
Wind blows in the windows and I smack in with a big glove. She got me like tinfoil. Know who it's in for.
Plan em, plan em, plan em. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscience go commercial while only making conscious albums. How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate them. Looking like I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect, gotta fess up now and pay your debt. Gotta lay something down to make a threat. Gotta say something now, don't hold your breath. How you mean I ain't floating? I got the star, got the potion. I got them all like emotions and emotions. I put career in the oceans. I put the body in the ocean. I made an oath when my told me to go in. Then he died on a cold bench. All my old friends living life on a slow end. Gotta keep rolling. It's due.
It's due. It's due. It's
due. So much I can't sleep.
I
don't f- so much I'm retired. I'm about to live my life through day free. She said she broke down when Prince died.
It's all right, it's all
my right. Hair down, Prince lived to me.
I am.
Get your ass up and be inspired. You know how many bodies in the street. Take the mask.
Just to talk a little bit about Kendrick Lamar. Sorry, bro.
Go ahead. Thank you. You're listening to the Urban Sports and I'm Wally and Ray Wills out. Thank you. Now you can talk about Kendrick.
Did you happen to see him kick the fan off the stage in Alabama? Who he asked her to come on stage to rap his lyrics, and then when she said the N-word, he's like, hold on.
Are you serious?
She stopped it. Yeah, it was interesting.
Was it a black or white? A white girl.
It was a white girl.
That's
but
okay.
She didn't do anything wrong, though. She was just. She did what was asked of her.
Yeah.
But. She did it multiple times, though, because it was part of the hook. And then she apologized, though. But then the fans kind of, like, got at her. Anyway.
I think that's always hard of a fan of your music if you're in different race. When you hear, like, rap music.
I think he was wrong for it, personally. But go ahead.
You think it was wrong? You think it was wrong of her?
No, it was wrong for him to kick her off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why
He did give her another chance, though. He did. But I heard through multiple media outlets that was a publicity stunt, really.
Oh, really?
And that, you know, he kind of planned it out to be that way. But homegirl seemed traumatized by the whole thing.
No, I'm sorry. It was Ed.
Sorry. Hey, it's the Urban Sports Team, Dad Carter. We getting there, though.
But
we have Ed Frankovic.
Say WN. First, you got to say it correctly.
I'm not introducing him.
So
I'm just getting hyped.
Okay.
And still.
No, I'm not saying and still. Like, he's not the WBC champ. Right now, we have WNST's Washington Capitals insider, Ed Frankovic, on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good to see. Talk to you guys, man. Big game 7 tomorrow. You guys pumped up?
Yeah, we pumped. Game 7. This is big for this franchise and big for the town.
Exactly. Ed, who's the pressure on? Is it on Tampa or is it on us?
I think it's more on Tampa, guys, but there's pressure all around, right? I mean, you get to this point as a professional athlete, and you have one game to get yourself into the ultimate, you know, like being one game away from the Super Bowl, one game away from the Stanley Cup Final. There's pressure on both teams. So I think I like the fact that, for once, the Capitals are going on the road, because I think going on the road – you tend to simplify your game, and you tend to fly in, and you just focus on the hockey game. You're not worried about getting tickets for your family and all mm-hmm. your buddies calling up wanting to be there and the nervousness from the crowd. You don't worry about any of that. You just go out and you play a game. And I've heard Sidney Crosby say that on a number of occasions. He much prefers playing on the road in a Game 7.
Well, the Cavs definitely do. Their road record in the playoffs has been amazing. How did they bounce back last night after losing three games to Tampa?
Well, I think you saw a lot more checking, a lot more physicality, a lot more guys hard on the puck. I think that was what was lacking. I think Tampa up after the first two games where the Capitals had a lot of space and were able to skate wherever they were pretty much wanted. I felt like Tampa started checking very well, especially the lineup, Paquette, Kunitz, and Callahan, and they really got in the Capitals' grill, and the Capitals didn't really respond to the physical style that Tampa was playing. But the Capitals amped up their physical game in Game 6, particularly guys like Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson and Brooks Orpik hit everything that moved. Uh-huh. And I think that was a big difference. Devontae Smith-Pelly as well had just a huge physical game. Those guys and many of the guys in the lineup stepped up, and they got physical with Tampa. And the Capitals are a big team. They used to be known as a heavy hockey team. Now they have a lot of speed in the lineup as well, but they got guys that can hit, and Ovechkin too. And they brought the wood, if you will, in Game 6, and I think that was a big factor. Holtby made some big saves so they could finally cash in on a power play. And once they got the lead, this series, the team that gets the lead in that second period has been able to lock it down. There hasn't been many lead changes because the team that gets ahead has been good at clogging the neutral zone and walling off the front of the net.
Hey, Ed, you mentioned Smith-Pelly. We were just getting ready to ask you about him. Can you just expound a little bit as far as his stellar play has been as of late, specifically in Game 6?
Well, he's a guy I liked. I mean, I liked a long time ago when he was in Anaheim a couple of years back. He had a very nice playoff run with the Ducks when they beat Dallas. And Bruce Boudreau was the coach, former coach of the Caps. He was a coach out in Dallas. And I always liked him. I thought he had some speed. And then he had some injuries and he had some conditioning issues. He bounced around. And I remember asking Brian McClellan about him when he signed him last July 2nd. I said, hey, you know, this is a guy that has a pretty good playoff pedigree, and you know, what's the deal? How did he? You know, what happened to his game? And he said, "Well, I think it's conditioning. He's had some injuries, and Devontae's coming in. He's really worked hard, and he's earned himself a spot on this roster. And Barry Trotz likes that type of guy that works and will battle. And he's been a big playoff performer. He reminds me a little bit of the way Joel Ward was. Joel Ward would step his game up
in the
playoffs, and
sure did.
Smith-Pelly's been that. He's got four goals and." You know, when the Capitals lost to the Penguins in 16 and 17, they didn't get secondary scoring from their bottom six. They're getting it now, and Spitzelli's been a big factor in that.
So little by little, Backstrom has gotten better and better since coming back from the injury. Also, I mean, can you talk about the TJ Oshie and Backstrom line?
Yeah, they really needed Backstrom back, and you're right. He has gotten better and better each game. He's gotten stronger with that hand. I didn't think he was really effective in games 4. Game 5, still not there, but Game 6, he was much more Nick Backstrom-like. I don't think he's where he was when he flat-out dominated Games 2 and 3 against the Penguins. But you got to remember, he's playing with a really bad hand.
Mm-hmm.
But he and Oshie have a lot of chemistry together. And that power play goal, I mean, that stick, that the Backstrom, not many guys can make that pass Backstrom made to Oshie. Because you look at 17 for Tampa there. I can't remember which guy it was, but he had his stick there, and he moves his stick just for a second, you know, to cover the pass to Carlson from the point. And Backstrom immediately notices it and feeds it, and Oshie one-times it in. I mean, that's an all-world pass, an all-world read by Nicklas Backstrom, and that's why they need that guy in the lineup. Without him in the lineup, he's the best passer going that the Capitals have. I know Kuznetsov is really great with the passing, but Backstrom's the best, and getting him back, and he and Oshie know where they're going to be on the ice. You know, Oshie knows where to put his stick and where to get himself in position. He knows back he's going to get him the puck, and I really like the way Jacob Varana played on that line, because Jacob brings a lot of speed and a lot of pressure on the D, and he forced some turnovers, and Oshie's a beast on the boards and won a lot of those board battles. But I love the way Varana has gotten physical as well. He's really taking his game to another level.
Mm-hmm. And fast, too.
Hey, Ed, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the player quotes over the course of the last 24 hours, but you had Orpik saying desperation drove the Capitals to a win. Ovechkin now is saying that this is the biggest game of his life. Do you think it's up to Trotsky to get these guys mentally prepared for each game? Like, shouldn't you approach every playoff game, like this could be your last game. You know, should you have maybe had a bigger sense of urgency going into game three, where you could have went up 3-0, or game four at home, which you allowed the Lightning to come to get to climb back into the series? What do you think about just the team's preparation mentally?
Well, I thought probably the worst preparation, yeah, I would say three in game five, actually. They just didn't look ready coming out of the gate. Game six was a different story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's on the players to do that. I think the coaches give them the game plan and they have to do it. And mm-hmm. I think they all realize this is a big opportunity. And you don't get to this point. It's very, very difficult to get to this point. Those guys know it better than anybody. Tampa's been here a bunch of times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Capitals, this is the first time they've gotten to this deep in the playoffs in the Ovechkin era. So it was quite surprising. I think Tampa made some adjustments there in game three, and the Capitals didn't react. I think the Capitals felt like they were going to have all that skating room they had in the first two games. And when John Cooper said after game three, what was the difference? He said, we checked. The Capitals should have got the message faster. Now, I did think they played a much better game four, but they had some bad mistakes.
Yeah.
The Kempe turnover was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson, a little bit of a lazy play there on the game-winning goal. In game five, they gave up the goal early, and then you had the missed call by the referee, not call the trip on
Orlov. A lot of bad calls.
Yeah, the officiating hasn't been in their favor at all in this series, but they've been able to overcome it, and I think they'll be mentally ready. I think they will be ready to go, and I think they realize they have to play the same type of game that they played in game six to beat this Lightning team. They have to be physical. They have to. Hockey. Coach Trotz had, and I was in the locker room after the game on game six and around the players, and Coach Trotz was using the old Al Pacino, the inches, you know, basically the inches they need are all around him, and that's hockey. You have to do the little things to get the big things, and winning those board battles, it's the play Chandler Stephenson makes to make Braden Coburn give up the puck and Beagle go get it, give it back to Stephenson where Smith Pelly gets that second goal that kind of puts the Lightning away. That's just a little hustle play, being hard on the puck, leading to a big result. And that's the difference in these games. And it's the same thing Tampa did in game four, where they hustled down and made a nice play, and Carlson was a little bit out of position, and they got a goal to win game four to make it 2-2 when it could have easily been 3-1. So it's all those little plays that lead to the big plays. And Smith Pelly, again, the reason the Capitals got that power play and Oshie scored that goal was Smith Pelly on a faceoff. He drives right to the net, and Coburn puts a stick in Smith Pelly's midsection because he doesn't want to lose him in front of the net. And so Smith Pelly was a huge factor in game six in the win.
Yeah, he definitely was. He played a big game. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have WNST's Captain Insider Ed Frankovic on the line. So, Ed, let's get right to it. Game seven, what do the Caps need to do Wednesday night to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, I think what they have to do is they have to be really smart with the puck. They can't make any turnovers. They have to come out and they have to just make the simple play. It's got to be north-south hockey. They had a little bit too much fancy pants in their game, I thought, in the first period. There was too many drop passes, I thought.
I agree.
And they have to go deep with the puck. It's got to go. If they got to get to that blue line, you either fire the shot on Vasilevskiy or put it deep behind that D and go hit that defense. And that's going to be the key. And in their own zone, they got to make smart plays. They have to get the puck out. They have to battle on the walls. And then the key in this game is getting the lead. Whatever team gets the lead is going to have a big advantage because both teams are very good at then sitting back and clogging the neutral zone and walling off their net and playing for opportunities. The team that's chasing the game is going to have their defenseman pitched down, and that's going to lead to odd man rushes. And we saw the odd man rush for Smith Pelly get the big goal there and kind of put it away. So that's going to be the key. The Capitals have to go north-south with their game. They have to play smart hockey, very much like the Vegas Golden Knights play. The Vegas Golden Knights are in the Stanley Cup Finals because they don't have any superstars. They just play they stick to their system no matter what the score is, and that's what the Capitals have to do. They can't get fancy. They've got to play the right way.
Well, thanks, Ed, for joining us. Hopefully next week we'll have you on, and we're talking about the Caps in Vegas on Monday.
Yeah, if the Capitals do advance, I will be happy to talk with you guys from the Sin City because I will be out there should the Capitals win. So
awesome.
Definitely hit me up and keep rooting them on, and let's keep talking. I mean, we got a good thing going here, guys.
Sure do. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Again, that is Ed Frankovic, Caps insider for WNST's.
We got to have him next week. Caps got to win.
They got to win, man.
I was hoping Will T was going to be here to say they would lose, and then we would have known. Because Will T has propelled with his jinx.
He has propelled
the Capitals.
He sure has.
We are so superstitious.
Yeah, we are. Thank you, Will T. Thank you so much. Will the Warriors go up 3-1 tonight against the Rockets? And the King is still alive. We'll discuss that after the break. This is the Urban Sports Save for Ages. You dig? Deuces.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You in the club, just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much, I know.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally, me, that's me. Ray, that's my man on the right, and supposed to be Will T. I know, exactly. But it sounded cool though, didn't it? It sounded pretty cool.
My man on the right.
On the right.
My right hand man.
My right hand man. That sounds even better.
And still,
you like that joint? Don't lie. You like that joint? That joint was like that. And still.
Nah, you hyped it up though. It was good.
I did. I had to.
It was pretty good. You didn't do that on our. On our post fight presser,
I did
whatever you want to call it.
Post fight coverage.
It was kind of funny.
No,
you were dead energy wise. You ain't say and still. That'd be good. Why couldn't you do that on camera where people can actually see you? Instead, I had to, you know, hey,
you had to control it because I had no energy. You're right. I had no energy.
That's all right. We had a long day. And you living off salad right now, so you trying to meet a weigh in. You trying to cut weight like you a boxer right now. I get it.
I know, man. Trying to drop that weight. Told you, I got 20 pounds to lose, man. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. I mentioned before the break, the Golden State Warriors are up 2-1 against the Houston Rockets. Do you believe that the Rockets still have a chance to get back into the series?
They have a chance. They played a good game up until the, I guess, mid-third quarter, maybe early third quarters where the game started to slip away from them in game three. But it's hard to win in Oracle, but if you can walk in Oracle and regain home court,
also that's big.
Then you're obviously in the series. Mm-hmm. I personally don't think it's going to happen. I feel as though the Warriors earned a split in those first two games on the road without Steph, and then Steph comes alive. I think Steph remains alive in Game Four, and I think the Warriors go up 3-1.
You think Steph's awake? You think they're awakened Steph?
Oh yeah, because they were picking on him.
I know they were. That was
which is pretty cool.
That was y'all dirty though. Not dirty, but it was.
No, it's like he had to man up. So they being the Golden State Warriors, took the same game plan as James Harden. All right, he's a defensive liability
because
he's been slow. He lost some weight, but he's still laterally not the best defender.
Yeah, feel free to call in if you believe that this series is over. The number is 240-478-3140.
I think really, barring injury, the Warriors are going to win the title.
I agree.
So
I just think that like I said before, Durant's a problem. You have Clay and you have Steph. Like Steph got his swagger back.
And Sean Livingston's playing excellent off the bench. Great. And so is Swaggy P. So is the former Washington Wizard Nick Young. We got to give love to him because he seems focused. I don't know for sure. I haven't seen him off the court, but we know how he was in LA and as well here in Washington. So you got to just give a shout out to Coach Kerr and the bench. We're not shouting out Draymond because He's Draymond.
I'm not sure.
He does a lot of talk. He's very animated. And to me, they could win without him. But, you know, some skeptics feel as though they need him on the court because of his leadership. He's fiery. Mm. He also was the missing link to when LeBron James came and the Cavaliers came back on that 73-1 team. But Draymond, he's grown more and more annoying for us.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not going to show him no love. But he's a good player.
He's a good player.
And he fills the stat sheet.
Exactly. He's a good role player for what he does. I'm not going to even talk about Draymond. Barkley said, I understand.
What would your ceiling be? Would your ceiling be Draymond in real life as a basketball player?
Nah, because I'm not as annoying as Draymond.
You shoot way longer threes.
I shoot way longer threes than Draymond.
You could play for the Warriors.
Yeah, if I could.
You'd be annoying though, because sometimes you go 1 for 10, you don't stop shooting. That's true. Other times you go like 9 for 10.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Like, do you have an in between?
It used to be better than what it is now. Last night,
see if you on or you off. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Last night in the Eastern Conference Finals, we'll get to that. Last night in the Eastern Conference
Draymond.
Finals, the Cavs defeated the Celtics. That's messed up. The Cavs defeated the Celtics.
Wally Green on
112 to tie the series at 2-2. How did the Cavs tie this series being down 2-0? I dislike it so much right now.
Just home cooking. That's how I look at it. You know, everybody's hitting their shots at home. Kyle Korver didn't miss almost.
He's a shooter. Kyle Korver should have missed.
Almost 8 quarters. He should have missed, though. In Boston, he couldn't buy one. And yeah, he was such a defensive liability.
I told you. You saw the block he had on Jalen Brown? I told you he's a decent defender. Even like the commentators were saying the same thing.
He got bullied.
I'm telling you, Kyle Korver is actually a decent defender.
No, he's a good all-around player that the Atlanta Hawks, Cleveland Cavaliers, they use his strength, was his shooting.
Yeah.
But no, he's a good all-around player. I just felt like he got punked. I want to say another word.
He did.
He got
beat. I know the player you're talking about.
He got beat in games 1 and 2 by Jalen Brown.
I know the player you're talking about. That when he
that
got
one
like,
play where he, yeah. Yeah, but still, you're a grown man, son. Now, here's the thing.
I think he manned up in game four.
Yeah,
he
at manned home, up. George Hill has played better at home. J.R. Smith, I expect J.R. Smith to play good, though, on the road, too.
No, I don't, because he always plays good. He only plays good at home. He rarely plays good on
the
road.
But he has, out of all the role players, I think he has the best scoring ability. Like, Tristan Thompson looks good at home. I don't like Tristan Thompson's
game. Tristan Thompson is consistent. He is who he is. He plays the same game. He played the same game.
Sometimes he can't get on the floor because Tyronn Lue knows he's going to be a liability. At least J.R. Smith is a threat when he's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's streaky or not, he's a threat to drop those open threes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what makes the Cavs hard to beat against this Boston team is if the role players are making their shots. It's hard to win.
So real quick, going fast forward in game five, is game five a must win for both teams?
It's a must win for Boston.
I think it's both.
Because if Cleveland were to lose this game, I still feel like they're confident because they have LeBron James. They can win the series.
That's a good point. I think it's a must-win because I feel like the winner of Game 5 wins the series. I feel like if Boston wins Game 5 and Game 7, I think Boston wins the series. Because like you mentioned, LeBron, I think LeBron will show out in the Game 7, but I don't think everybody else will show out. I think LeBron would still need help. I think Boston, in terms of a collective team effort in the Game 7 in Boston, I feel like they would have a good chance to win that game.
Game 7 for Cleveland wouldn't be good. To me, LeBron just exerting too much energy leading up to a finals. And it's going to make his finals record look even worse. And it's going to be a huge blemish on his overall career. But, again, we're talking about just Game 5. And Boston's feeling some pressure. But if I'm them, just look at the season you've had. Look at your coach. You have nothing to be concerned about. You've already vastly exceeded expectations considering the injuries they've sustained, period.
No, I agree. Do the Nets have a replacement? Do the Nets have a replacement for Bryce Harper if he leaves? We'll have Nets GM Ryan Sullivan to discuss this after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports saying, for ages, you dig?
Draymond.
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rocks inside my.
Yeah, you're on now. You might as well go ahead and introduce him.
Welcome back to Urban Sports Scene. Ray, Wally, we now have, for the first time this regular season, and still, Nats GM.
Oh, Phil, he's off the line now.
Oh, man, he's calling back.
I'm calling him back
right
now.
Messed up my intro.
That's what you get.
Well, we're planning to have Ryan Sullivan at NatsGM.com to talk Juan Soto and his awesome debut for the Washington Nationals, and still Ryan Sullivan on the line.
He's not on the line yet.
Come on, man. Who is controlling the phone? When I was in charge of the phone, Gary, he was on the line. And still, we don't have him. That's what I should say.
Still, we don't have him. And then still, and now we do have him.
I thank you for and your support, all of our listeners, because you guys rock with us in spite of all.
And
this.
Now you can say, and still, now introduce Ryan.
And now joining us from NASGM.com, and still, Ryan Sullivan is on the line. We had the champ, Gary Russell Jr., early. That's our reference, Ryan.
Hey,
now,
Ryan.
Now, wait a minute.
You heard him?
That's Ray?
And you know this.
Ryan, that is Ray.
Look me up on YouTube, Ryan. I'm everywhere.
I mean, I thought you would get. I thought you would have run for the hills if you heard I was coming on the show.
No, not even.
Oh my God!
Come on with that laugh, Wally. It's not that funny.
It is funny, man.
Ryan, you're the man. You got me. You got me.
But in all seriousness, guys, how are you guys? It's been
doing
a while.
Doing well.
Glad to have you on, Ryan.
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much. I mean, it's all about the Nats. The Nats have a guy that looks like what Bryce Harper looked in the minor leagues, and now he's in the majors and he hit a home run in his first game as a starter. He had a three run homer yesterday. Juan Soto. Thank you. I mentioned his name. Juan Soto. You mentioned Juan Soto before. Juan Soto. you followed him in the minor leagues. Is he the truth? Is he legit?
He's the best hitter I've seen at that level since Bryce Harper. And it's really not even close. I mean, what he can do with the barrel is just exceptional. I mean, he's just been given a real gift. I mean, it kind of reminds me when I was into basketball way back when and I got to see LeBron coming up. It was just like, it's not supposed to look like that, but he's that good. And it's a really special talent at the plate.
So what are his strengths and weaknesses? Since you've seen him play in the minors, he's hit well in A ball and Double A.
Well, the strengths are just he has an exceptional ability at the plate to put the barrel on the baseball, and some people just have a knack for that, and the really talented ones, it doesn't matter where it's pitched. I mean, I'll use the home run last night as an example. That wasn't a terrible pitch that the pitcher threw. I mean, maybe it gets hit for a single a lot of times if somebody really hits it, but. You know, he's got the ability and the strength to hit it really hard. It's out to left center field at 400 feet. I mean, it's just, you know, most people can't do that. And the combination of the ability to whip the bat through the barrel and just make solid contact because he's so good at making contact that it's a combination that's just, it's really special.
So you said he is the best hitter that you've seen since Bryce at this level. Going beyond the Nationals, is there anyone else you can compare him to? One of the best hitters that I saw, I guess, at this level was Alfonso Soriano. If you remember when he came out.
Yankees.
Yeah, for the Yankees. Sorry. Because he played for the Cubs, too. I almost said the Cubs. I think he was one of the hardest hitting
second baseman
that I saw at that level. Who else could you compare him to?
It's strange, but I've gotten a Juan Gonzalez comp a few
times.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Okay, I like that.
That's a good one.
And now Juan was 6'4", 6'5", and did it a little differently. But if you look at their lower half during their swing, there's a lot of similarities there. And I think I can understand what the person's trying to say, not comping body-wise or even person, or more, you know, personality-wise. They both got a little bit of a swagger. But, you know, Juan Gonzalez, as his peak, I think had two MVPs and was – you know, perennial awesome. 35 or 40 home run hitter.
Yeah.
Now,
awesome.
We can talk steroids and we can talk the other things, but he was still a damn good player.
Yeah, agreed. If he could be Juan Gonzalez, that would be amazing. Because I actually being an Orioles fan, and when he used to, you know, Juan Gonzalez playing for the Texas Rangers, that's a guy who intimidated me anytime I watched the Orioles pitch to him.
So, Ryan, does this or the adding of this dynamic player change your trajectory for the team this year?
No, because he's still so young. I mean, this is a 19-year-old kid, and he's played with, I think somebody tweeted me today, 121 games of minor league action. I mean, he hadn't even had a full season game. So I expect him to scuffle some. He's never seen really great quality breaking pitches because, you know, frankly, if you've got a really good breaking pitch in the minor leagues, you're not at the A-ball level, mm-hmm. which is where he spent most of his time. So he'll be susceptible to some of that. He's gotten a lot better against lefty on lefty pitching, but that'll still be difficult. I mean, we're talking about the best left-handed pitcher in the world, and, you know, when they bring in those guys in the bullpen, I mean, those guys are really difficult to hit. So I think we'll see him scuffle. But that said, it's kind of like what I said about Bryce Harper way back when. I've kind of started stopped betting against what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at the point now where he's just so good. I'm not betting against him at this point. This guy's the limit.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Ryan Sullivan from Nats GM. So do you see him staying with the main squad if he keeps producing? Because, you know, Eaton's going to get healthy eventually, and they still have guys who can play at the and play outfield. So do you think he'll stay with the big club?
I think at this point his dad is going to determine where and how long he stays. I don't think that they're going to keep him up to sit on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's hitting .230 when Adam Eaton gets back, and let's call it a month from now,
mm-hmm.
and that may be really optimistic, but we'll use a month. I think that you may see him go down for more seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
That said, if he's batting .320 and not going to cover off the ball, blah, 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 he will be in the major league. You know, we saw with Bryce as well. They said the same thing, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when,
yes.
when he came up is, oh, well, they'll probably send it back down when guys get healthy. And, you know, he was batting second in the lineup and spurring a really good team. And he, you know, never really went back down. So
would you, all right, obviously, you know, after this season, Bryce is a free agent. Do you look at Soto as a possible replacement for Bryce Harper? And knowing that you're going to have, I'm sorry, I'm having a moment, Robles too as well.
I mean, it's a difficult question. I mean, I put Harper in one of those. He's one of the top 4 or 5 most talented players in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to replace somebody like that. I mean, that's the operative word you're using, but it's also the difficult
true,
word.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I think the hope is that with the experience he gets this year, and if he's as talented as we think he is, that maybe he can produce 80% of what Bryce Harper can do at 1/20th of his salary or 1/50th of what he'll probably do on the free agent market. So I think you're probably looking at something like that. But the nice thing about this option is you could put him in left field and have him just be a terrific, you know, offensive player and Bryce stays and you've got two dynamic left-handed hitters for the next, you know, 8 years or whatever it would be. So,
Brian, before we let you get out of here, I'm sorry, were you finished? My bad.
I was just going to say it's one of them good problems.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely a good problem to have. Real quick, though, before we let you get out of here, what are your thoughts about Robinson Cano and what do you feel about the culture of Major League Baseball? Is it not changing?
I'm probably the most, you know, apathetic towards steroids of all time of anybody that you'll talk to. I mean, if somebody wants to put something in their body that's going to make them a better athlete, at the end of the day, this is entertainment for me and hopefully for all of us. So I don't really have a strong opinion there. I tend to think that that line comes down to whether or not you have children because you don't want to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously sad. It really takes a lot out of Seattle, and Cano is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer until this moment came up, or certainly a Hall of Famer down the line. I mean, that's the best second baseman of this generation. So I think this is going to put a huge cloud into his candidacy, but I also think that we will have some type of determination one way or the other with these steroid guys by the time his name comes up, whether it's, all right, everybody just, it is what it is, and we're going to let everybody in, or if you ever fail the test, you're not getting in, and that's what it is. And I think, frankly, we need to get to that point because the discussion of it is kind of nonsense. We need to make a decision. When I say we, I mean as much baseball people and fans as the writers. I think we just need to decide where we stand on it and go forward.
No, I agree. I'm not. I'm like you. I have a similar stance to you, Ryan. So, Ryan, before we let you go, let the folks know about NatsGM.com.
Thank you for the spot. NatsGM.com, I write 3 to 4 days a week there, a lot of minor league coverage. I have a weekly podcast, The NatsGM Show, an interview show that goes up about once a week. Pretty proud of that show. We just published our 112, or we will publish our 127th episode tomorrow, so that's pretty impressive. I'm pretty happy about that. And I'm also running for Masson this year on Friday, so if you head over to Masson Sports, you can find me there as well.
Amazing. Well, Ryan, we appreciate you. Hopefully we'll have you on again, and hopefully, you know, we'll know. Hopefully Soto is hitting about .320.
Shit, that would be great, you know.
All right.
I'm just so glad that Ray decided to grace us. So thank you, Greg.
Thank you. I just got a text, Ryan. It's Barry Bonds. He said, I need Ryan and Wally having a vote for Hall of Fame because you guys just are like all WWE guys, like whatever.
Oh, my God. That's too funny.
Well, thanks, Ryan.
All right. Do well, guys.
All right. Take care. All right, again, that is Ryan Sullivan from NatchDM.com. Great guy. And I do, I'm not going to lie, I feel like Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame and Roger Clemens. You
don't? Yeah, I don't disagree, but there has to be a penalty for
I mean, once you get suspended, I think that's a good enough penalty.
I just feel like Clemens and Bonds were so good before that.
Yeah, that's what
occurred.
I'm saying. Like, it's
McGuire
not...
it was a good hitter, but to me, he's iffy. But those two guys, I would agree.
Yeah.
But again, it's about, I guess, morals and ethics.
Yeah, it is. But Alex Smith, quarterback of the Washington
and
Redskins.
And new Washington Redskins quarterback, Alex Smith.
But for a lot of fans, you know, Kirk Cousins is better. I want to know what does Alex Smith have to do to be deemed a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins? We'll talk about that after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Saying. For ages, you dig, deuces. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally and Ray. We'll see you out.
Show him how it's done, Wally. Show that Showtime DJ how to do it.
You know how we do it, bruh.
He went from Rubber Band Man to I don't know what he was playing.
Oh, dude.
He was playing Dirty Style. So I just played Jim Jones, man. You missed it. I'm like, what?
He had T.I., though. I'll give him that.
He played a lot of tip.
So I'll give him that.
I'm a fan. But you know what? Never mind. I'm not going to go there. We'll talk after the show about the DJs that were present that... Yeah, they set on my role.
Oh,
covering the fight.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm like, come on, man.
I got you.
Don't try to carry me. Anyway.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. So here's the topic. We talked about Alex Smith. Alex Smith is the quarterback for the Washington Redskins. Kirk Cousins, who's now a Minnesota Viking, who now is the Minnesota Vikings quarterback, was beloved here by many fans. What does Alex Smith have to do to be deemed a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins for the upcoming season?
It's true. All you gotta do is win 8 games. It's not that hard. Really?
Some fans don't even think that. They think he has to have particular stats.
I don't. I feel like if you have a running game, he's gonna be fine. He can get outside the pocket, he's gonna be straight.
Mm-hmm.
You got a healthy Jordan Reed. A healthy Jordan Reed is so key.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, we saw the fight, by the way.
Because
think about it. With Alex Smith's escapability and his ability to extend the play, with Jordan Reed on the field, bruh.
No, I'm with you.
And Jameson Crowder healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And a good offensive line. I mean, but even if your offensive line is not that good, he has the potential to extend plays, to make plays down the field when there may have been no opportunity. Like a Kirk Cousins, he struggles. He's really good in the pocket to me, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
He's shorter, and he's not as fast. Alex Smith is going to make some plays. You're like, wow, I'm glad we got this guy. And there's other times where maybe you miss Kirk Cousins the way he made decisions, got the ball out quicker.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the thing is that Alex Smith, when you look at Alex Smith, you're probably going to say to yourself that, okay, Kirk Cousins would have made that pass. Kirk Cousins would have got the ball out quicker. Maybe Alex Smith takes a sack that Kirk Cousins wouldn't take.
About which week?
Which week?
Does the Kirk Cousins chatter die down? My goodness. This area.
This area. I got you.
Be clear, not the resident.
I got you.
That this area or this franchise or this fan base lost a legend.
Like Joe Montana or somebody.
Hey, I'm
with you.
Like I'm saying, put up good numbers, but my goodness. And I know guys like Joe Montana and even probably Tom Brady are looking at the deals being handed out. I'm include Matt Ryan in there.
Uh-huh.
Like, wow, what do I need to do? How come I didn't get that type of money? Dan Marino is probably sitting at home like, for a guy that didn't even come close to making a Super Bowl.
Yeah, seriously.
He's getting paid more money than I'm seeing in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Almost. Not really, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Dan Marino has made a lot of money, but I'm just, it's like, it's Kirk Cousins.
Yes. I just think
I like Kirk Cousins, but at the end of the day, he's Kirk Cousins.
And he's not, again, we said this before, like in prior shows, and still Kirk Cousins. Alex Smith has been more of a winner. You know, like you said, though, if Alex Smith wins 8 games, to your opinion, in your opinion, that he's already exceeded what Kirk Cousins has done for this team. You know, some people say stat-wise, like Alex Smith has to throw for over 4,000 yards. Do you think what Alex Smith has, do you think what Alex Smith, with how the team is constructed, do you think anything's obtainable in terms of being better than Kirk Cousins? You think that's obtainable?
I think you have. Oh, it's completely attainable.
Okay.
And here's why. Health comes into play. I just mentioned Jordan Reed. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at Josh Doctson after a full season of experience with that same athleticism. Mm-hmm. You're going to start now in OTAs, hopefully, to develop that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
The risk and a better running game, that's what I'm thinking. It was a guy that can – that's mobile. Right, guys. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking about him, but a guy that's mobile, I think he – you know, like, for example – Cam Newton, Michael Vick. I'm not comparing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But a mobile quarterback.
The running game.
Of course.
And I feel as though the running game will benefit from having Alex Smith behind center. I just do.
Yeah, you have Geist and Chris Thompson.
He may not put up the same numbers, but it may result in better and longer sustaining drives, better red zone play, and maybe more wins.
Yeah, better red zone play, more wins. And, you know, having Chris Thompson and Geist.
Because Kirk Cousins would throw between the 20s. I mean, he was spectacular.
But in the red zone,
red zone, and then, Alex Smith can extend the play.
Yeah.
That plays a huge role in the red zone. Big Ben, as much as immobile as he seems these days, he, because of his strength and somewhat of a running ability, he can extend plays. Alex Smith is way more agile than him.
Agreed.
And is younger.
Yeah, and is younger.
And you see Ben Roethlisberger is still succeeding.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I feel as though with guys – how's Geist's catching ability? That's what I don't
know. He can catch decent. It's not like he's –
he's not Le'Veon.
No, he's not Le'Veon.
Okay. I was just wondering. Well, but you got
– he's like Beast Mode.
You got Thompson returning, though.
Like Beast Mode.
I'm telling you, look, Thompson returning, Jordan Reed returning healthy, more experienced. Johnson. I'm making you smile. You feel as though there's some –
Jameson Crowder has to – Jameson Crowder has to be improved. There's weapons. I'm not – there are weapons on this team, but – at the end of the day, I think in terms of his own stats, he's probably going to have to, for the fan base, he's probably going to have to throw for 4,000 yards and be effective. I think more than throwing a bunch of touchdowns, I think, Ray, you hit it right on the head. He has to be effective in the red zone. And I think that, you know, Kirk Cousins wasn't effective in the red zone. If Alex Smith is 10 times more effective than Kirk Cousins in the red zone, I think that you'll get the fan base saying that, okay, he's better than Kirk Cousins.
It's not going to be hard to achieve. But, but the comparisons will be there throughout the course of the year. I said for you, when does it calm down? Winning cures all. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's time to wrap this show up, man. Thank you all for listening to us. Thanks to the champ, Gary Russell Jr., for being on the show.
Still.
You want to say that?
No, I don't.
Well, we appreciate everybody. And still, the Urban Sports saying for Aegis, you dig, deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.
Undisputed. To the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.